AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in a very happy Friday to you. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. We appreciate you stopping by, getting ready for what should be a great weekend ahead. Hopefully a profitable weekend ahead. It's going to start with a whole lot of Major League Baseball getting ready to kick off here in just about 20 minutes as the Miami Marlins will be taking on the now very shorthanded Philadelphia Phillies here. And yet, as you can see the price there, it appears that maybe word hasn't reached that both Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber are going to miss at least 10 days as they were both placed on the IL. And this is not great here. Not one, but two. It's bad enough last night that you couldn't hold on to beat the Miami Marlins with your ace Wheeler on the mound, but it's even worse that you managed somehow to lose, and you also lost the two most important players that you have on the team here with Harper and Schwarber. Looks like Harper, they say, could be activated as soon as July 9th. But let's face it, the idea that any of these guys are going to be available for the All-Star game is also in question. So the only good news is they do have at least another week or 10 days with the All-Star break kind of serving as that buffer in between to give him enough time to be able to figure it out. Schwarber with a groin strain, they are saying it's considered mild. It's a minimum of 10 days for him on the IL. But again, same situation where they will have at least an opportunity to get a little extra rest in there as the All-Star break will kind of give them that buffer. But there is no doubt that those are two very big injuries for a Phillies team that has been cruising along here. Best record in Major League Baseball. Best record in the National League at times. And now, well, now they're still a $2 favorite tonight against the Marlins, who over the years, let's be honest, have owned the Phillies here. Total 8 in this one as Sanchez going for Philadelphia, Tyler going for Miami. We will also have coming up this hour the first pitch in about 40 minutes or so with the Washington Nationals taking on the Tampa Bay Rays. That's going to be in the Trop with Eflin taking on Parker here. Those are your two Major League Baseball games that will start here within this hour. And we will, of course, have some plays here coming up with the rest of the card tonight, including the New York Yankees. Will they or won't they ever win another game? It doesn't look great, given the fact that they can't seem to score any runs, but have no problem giving up at least 10 runs a game. And you're looking at a team right now, the Yankees, that, hey, if you would have told me at this point that they'd have, what, 53 wins on the season when we got to July, I would say mission accomplished. But Yankee fans are absolutely greedy, and they think they're going to win 106, 107, 108 games. And I just never thought that was realistic without Gerrit Cole being in the mix. Well, he is back. They are going through it, but they do have a very beatable team tonight to get back on track with the Toronto Blue Jays, who looked like world beaters yesterday. And congratulations, half that team in likelihood will be on either the Baltimore Orioles or the New York Yankees in just another month. We did also hear today in the NBA that we got some new news here, some trades in addition to the 2 days of the NBA draft, which we were not used to. And I don't know if you guys heard this, but it turns out that Bronny James was actually drafted by the Lakers. And I know I had to pull over on the side of the road myself. I could not believe that news. But that is the only thing we have heard about now over the last 48 hours here. And by the way, he picked a number. Number 9. That too came across the phone in a red hot alert earlier this afternoon. That's going to be funny to see if he even steps on the court, much less anybody care about what his number is. I will say this, though. They weren't the only ones making moves. The Dallas Mavericks have traded Tim Hardaway Jr. and 3 draft picks to the Detroit Pistons for Quentin Grimes. And you got to love that. Hardaway was a no-show in the playoff run here for the Mavericks, especially when it mattered the most against Boston. And not because he was always hurt, but just simply because he wasn't serviceable at all. And now the Dallas Mavericks have decided they need somebody with a little more offense, somebody that they can rely on. And certainly the Detroit Pistons had no problem stocking up on more draft picks in the future, 3 second round picks to the Detroit Pistons for Quentin Grimes. And it looks like Toronto also threw in the mix in that way. But it just wasn't a great fit there for Hardaway Jr. He actually got there as part of the Porzingis trade back in 2019. He did have some great seasons in Dallas, mostly off of the bench. He had a bunch of finished top 10 in the 6th man of the year voting over the last couple of years. This team and him, it just did not work out. He fell out of the rotation as they were making that run to the finals this year, and really just never, it wasn't a glue guy there. It just did not work once they made the trades and brought in Washington and company, and it just did not work out. But $16 million in the final year of his contract, I guess they decided it's now time to move on, and they'll bring in Grimes, who is making a quarter of that money right now, just about $4 million. Obviously, a lot of flexibility there when you've got a couple of guys that are going to be set to make a whole lot of money on that Dallas team there, certainly with Kyrie and Luka at the top of the food chain. And I think they know where they have to go. So I was wondering when we were going to hear from Dallas and what would be some of the moves after bringing in Gafford in Washington. They know what they got to do if they're going to contend. It can't be the Luka and Kyrie show. They're going to need some other shooting and some guys that they can rely upon. And they're addressing that now. Right after the season. So good stuff there by them. We also are still trying to lick our wounds here, at least Team USA is, in the Copa American, because that was not a great situation last night against Panama. The loss there in epic fashion by having one of your best players get red carded and thrown out in the 18th minute of the game. Not a good look. And now it puts them in a spot where they have a must-win game coming up Monday against one of the toughest teams in this competition, Uruguay, who has a few trophies in this Copa America. In the past, this is what many people thought was going to be a top 3 or 4 team. The odds reflected it pre-tournament. And now their only shot at advancing here is by going through that team, and not a good look by the American team there as they try to get.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Get back up and see if they can do it. If they can beat Uruguay on Monday, then I like their chances altogether. You may want to take a look at the current odds board when you get a chance to see where they're at in that game and where they are for the tournament. Because a win there, they'll show me a little something. All right, we have much more to get to in Major League Baseball. We got an NHL draft here tonight. Much going on as Game Time Decisions gets ready on a Friday here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network, and that is exactly what we're going to do here as we get ready for some Major League Baseball. Two games getting ready to start in this 6 o'clock Eastern Time hour, just a couple of minutes away, with Miami taking on Philadelphia. Adam Kaufman stepping in here, and no doubt he is going to look at this game here. And what a 24 hours it has been here, Adam, for Philly. We were on air last night, in fact, with In-Game Live, and we watched Philadelphia throw up all over themselves. And then in the process of not only blowing a 3-0 lead, they managed to somehow lose both of their best players there in Harper and Schwarber, now on the 10-day IL, just mind-blowing. And yet here they are, still a $2 favorite, but that's not going to scare you, is it?
So listen, I realize, Joe, it doesn't work this way in gambling. But as far as I'm concerned, the Phillies owe me. I was on the run line yesterday. They were up 3-0 midway through that game and then threw up all over themselves and not only didn't cover the run line, didn't even win as -300 favorites. Absolutely asinine the way that game unfolded, and like you said, lost a couple of key players along the way. And then, as you noted earlier in the program, I'm not sure the lines have totally reflected it, still being -200 or thereabouts favorites here today. But there's no question that even the absence of two big bats, they still have the much better pitcher in this matchup in Christopher Sanchez, who has thrown the ball very, very well this year. I like the Phillies. I don't see a whole lot of value in playing that money line unless you're going to use it as a parlay piece with something else, maybe a couple of heavier favorites, get yourself something that's in the vicinity of even money, maybe a little bit better. But I have gone back to the Philly run line. I'm going back to the -1.5. But truthfully, you know, what might be a little bit more advantageous if you didn't want to follow me on that. A couple other plays that I've made on this game, under 8 runs, because I just think the offense is going to be a little bit sparse on both sides. Some of the projections at various places that I like to look around had this game as low as 5 or 6 runs. So going under 8, I feel pretty good about. But in particular, and this game starts what? In about 4 minutes, I'm on with you for the next 15. We can have ourselves a live sweat right here if you want to roll on this one with me. With no Harper, no Schwarber, I decide to invest in the Nerfy in the opening inning here. The no-run first inning, no runs Philadelphia and Miami. And looking at it, I know obviously a very limited sample for Kyle Tucker, but he is 1-0 to the Nerfy. And Sanchez is 11-4 this year, which is not great. It's about 75%. But nevertheless, I think with those bats missing for Philadelphia, I like the Nerfy here. It could be fun. Maybe we can make some money together before I sign off.
All right, so from one degenerate to another, I'm in with you. There we go. Just made the play. Okay, so let's move on to another game here. That's how easy that was. I agree with you, though. And having said that, now it'll probably be 10-0 heading into the second inning. Let's talk about the other game coming up in about an hour.
Miami, too. It'll be 10-0 Miami. I'll just lose everything.
Oh, I know. I have not been able to bet them correctly all year long. But hopefully a no run in the first inning is exactly going to turn that around. I don't know why it feels like this price is so short with the Orioles. Scherzer going for the Rangers. It just feels too short to me. Scherzer's only a second time out. We saw what Cole did his second time out against this lineup. It didn't work out all that well for him. I don't know why we think Scherzer's going to be any different. I mean, this is really still spring training for these guys. And I get the better team at minus 130. It just feels wrong. Are we being set up here?
So not to be too married to the Nerfy train, but this is another one that I have played the no run first inning simply because, again, you know, Scherzer, he went, 4-5 scoreless in his opening game against the Royals. So obviously no runs allowed, just the one hit as a matter of fact. But Albert Suarez on the other side is 8-1 to the Nerfy. He's converting about 90%. So this is another Nerfy investment that I made. But I agree with you. I played the Orioles on the money line. I think the number is way too short for a team that is hitting the ball like crazy. And Scherzer, I just, even if he pitches well, I just don't see him going deep into this game because, as you noted, this is essentially spring training. It's only his second start of this season coming off of that injury. And Suarez is throwing the ball very, very well. He's not some scrub coming in with a 5.5 ERA. He's been excellent so far this year. So, you know, if you want to, I would understand staying away from the first five money line for the Orioles if you think that, you know, Suarez allows a run or two and Scherzer's lights out again. But if you're going to see the Texas bullpen for 3-4, maybe even 5 innings, I think it's a really advantageous spot for the Orioles to go full game on that money line.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more there. And listen, sometimes it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, people. It's a duck here. I'll take the better team at home in this spot here. What are we doing with the Yankees tonight? Are we backing? Are we catching this falling knife? Are we completely convinced Toronto turned something around? I mean, Kikuchi is a lefty. Yankees can't hit lefties, but does it really matter at this point with these two teams?
This team sucks. There is no other way to put it. I mean, we were talking on my show last night about, you know, why you should be investing a unit or two in the Orioles to win the division, you know, and you could get them at a good number right now because the Yankees are going to continue to fall. Now, that being said, I did bet the Yankees on the money line tonight. I think this is a nice bounce back spot. I was on Toronto plus money yesterday, and that was right around plus 115 when I got it. Got a little closer to even money by the time first pitch rolled around. It was just, you know, a really solid spot after the rain delay and the Yankees playing deep into the night and then having to travel and, you know, Toronto getting as much time just to basically wait as it had. But that being said, even playing field for everyone at this point in time, and Stroman has been really solid this year. So I do like it as a bounce back spot for New York tonight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what have they been outscored? Like 36 to 6 or something over the last three games?
But who's
it's not
counting?
Been pretty. Who's counting? Unless, of course, you had the Yankees and any sort of team total in the last three games. Then you know it all too well. All right, stay there, Adam.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
I want to get your thoughts on your Red Sox coming up and also the Dodgers tonight. Can't wait to get your thoughts on that one as well. Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri alongside Adam Kaufman here as we are underway in tonight's slate in Major League Baseball right now. Top of the first here, still no score, good thing. since Adam sucked me right up into going with a nerfy here in this Marlins and Phillies game. So we're going to keep an eye on that. But I did want to get your thoughts on your Red Sox in an interesting spot tonight. Both of these teams seem to have maybe turned it around here a little bit. Feels like, and you're there, hot, humid day, Fenway Park. I keep looking at the total, wanting to go over. But how are you looking at this one here tonight?
So I bet the Red Sox first five. I think some interesting numbers. Then forgive me, I'm going to look down at my phone and read to you because I couldn't possibly memorize these if I tried. Somebody sent me these along, and I think it's interesting. The Red Sox are 0-11 on the run line. Now, mind you, obviously that's winning by multiple runs, but 0-11 on the run line, 1-10 overall since April 12th as a favorite of less than -245 in series openers. Mm-hmm. Now, I realize that is a mouthful of stats to throw at. It's like, what is somebody on a Wednesday when it rains and it's kind of dark out? Like, baseball has a litany of these numbers that we just have to kind of consider and parse through. But the Red Sox, they're also 0-6 since May when coming off of an off day. And all of those losses were by multiple runs. If you wanted to go with the dog on the run line, you could get a really fat number on that with Nick Pivetta on the mound here. But I do think the Red Sox, I think Pivetta is good enough to have them either leading through five, or even if they're tied through five and it voids, you know, you get your money back, obviously. Bullpen's been a little inconsistent. You can't argue this team, though, has been, generally speaking, pretty good over the last couple of weeks. I mean, they went from being a 500 team 2 weeks ago to six over right now and right there in the mix for a playoff spot in the American League. Now, that's a watered-down playoff spot with all those extra wild cards that we have now. But nevertheless, it's a team that is competing. It's fun. It's energetic. It's in these games despite so many injuries. But as far as this one here tonight, the numbers would say go with the dog at plus money. I just can't bring myself to do it, but maybe that's my Red Sox fandom.
Yeah, I am with you. I mean, Randy Vasquez, night and day pitching at Petco and pitching away. I mean, his ERA is nearly twice that when he goes on the road, and I don't want to have to worry about that heading into a hitter's park like Fenway. And Pivetta, I think they've won his last four starts, so this should be a good one here tonight for the Red Sox if they can get that going. What about, and a lot of people have been very confused about this line tonight with the Dodgers taking on the Giants, who have won eight of their last 10. They got Webb on the mound tonight. They have not beaten the Dodgers in a series since 2021. The Dodgers basically either sweep them or get two out of three or three. They always win the series against the Giants. It feels like this is the perfect spot with the rookie on the mound for the Dodgers. And Webb on the mound for the Giants. A lot of people think, why are the Dodgers this price? What do you think?
Well, this is another one. The Dodgers in terms of following the trends, again, 9-0 since September 8th in series openers when not a -160 or greater favorite. I bring that up simply to say, and also without diving into more numbers and boring our listeners or viewers, that the Giants on the other side, not so great in similar types of series openers that you could, again, lay out a slew of these different facts. The bottom line is you have a great pitching matchup right now. You have Landon Knack, who, just with personal bias, my son's name is Landon. I'm a little partial to the kid. Oh. I like when he pitches. But also, it doesn't hurt that he's good. We've seen him out there for a half dozen games so far this year. He's got a slim sub-3 ERA. Webb is solid on the other side, which leads me to lean, not a heavy bet, but lean toward the under in this one. This is another one that I played the nerfy on because I just, even though the numbers aren't, wonderful for Webb when it comes to the no run first inning, he's only converted about 65% of the time. You can tell it's just a bet I like to play. I think it's, they can be really streaky. We saw like a couple days ago, the Nerfies were 14-1. It was kind of crazy. And so I've been leaning into some of that lately when the pitching matchup dictates it, pardon me. And I think this is another one with Webb against Knack. But I like the Dodgers. If you could tell me I can get the Dodgers in the vicinity of -120, 125 as a favorite, obviously, despite being on the road and the Giants admittedly being a good team, that's a virtual auto play for me.
I'm just so turned off. The public loves the Dodgers here tonight. They think it's too good to be true. And
I know.
Ugh, it just worries me to no end. Adam Coffin, as always,
the public loves the White Sox.
Well, they better love the Nerfy here in the Phillies game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we are now two outs here in the bottom of the first with the Phillies taking on the Marlins. Those of you that joined us here with Adam Coffin, we jumped in on the Nerfy here, and hopefully it stays nothing by the time this inning is over. And I'm always hesitant to bring in George Kurtz here because Kurtz will probably tell us that he, in fact, was on the we were expecting a run in the first inning here. But George, welcome in, my man. It's a busy slate tonight at Major League Baseball, and also there's a big NHL draft here tonight at the Sphere in Vegas, where I believe last check with Dave Sharapan is that he was partly melting as well. And it's still about 100. Nothing says hockey like 113 degrees in the middle of the desert. I'll tell you that there. But I didn't look. How are the Islanders set up here to in the draft? Are they? Because we all know they blew this year. So I'm just, I mean, do they have, are they somewhere in the middle? Or do they even have a first round pick here tonight?
As of right now, 6:34 Eastern, for the first time since 2019, they will have a first round pick. All right. So listen, I think Lamoriello, I think the game was passed him by. He's the Islanders general manager. He's a Hall of Famer, no doubt, but I think the game was passed him by. And he's traded every other first round pick for middling players. J.P. Peugeot, you know, Leo Ramonov. We're not talking top-of-the-line players here. So he keeps trading away first-round picks. That's because he doesn't care about developing. He's not going to be around long enough to see those players come out, right? He's 80-plus-something years old. So it's been disappointing. But he does. The funny thing was probably about maybe 4 to 6 weeks ago, I get an alert on my phone, just a headline. Islanders trade first-round pick. Yeah, of course. Of course they do. And then you realize, okay, they just swapped a first round pick and picked up an extra second, stuff like that. So they went from 18 to 20. So the Islanders have the 20th pick. As for this draft as a whole, you know, we all know Macklin Celebrini, he's going first. He's going to the Sharks. After that, it gets a little bit more interesting when we can figure out who's going where. Celebrini is not Bedard. All right. He's not that kind. He's a good player, but we're not talking transgenerational player here, but he will make the Sharks
really
better. No doubt he'll make the Sharks a better team. I think he also has connections to San Jose. So, well, hey, Sharks were terrible. They're not going to make the playoffs next year, but they have someone to build around. All right, that's really where it goes. They have someone to build around here. After that, most people tell you, first five, six players, okay, good. Then it becomes crapshoot time. You're really just guessing here.
Really?
You know, it's a middling draft. So like what the NBA was. Same thing here. No, real, oh, wow, can't wait to see where this guy goes. No, it's kind of blah here. No goalies are expected to go in the first round. That's not a rarity. That's generally what happens in the NHL. For a position that's so important here, I don't know. They always wait on goalies. You always find these guys later in the draft here. So that's how it should go tonight. We might get a trade or two. Wouldn't shock me, teams moving up. If a certain player does fall, like I said, it's only about five, six, seven players that most scouts rate as top line, maybe the top four players here. So one of those players worth the fall for whatever reason, then I think you could see teams trying to trade up to grab that guy.
They are very defensive heavy is what I've heard here about this draft, where teams can really stock up and get some depth, especially with big old defensemen, which is great. Not everyone can be, a 50-goal scorer a year at the top of the draft. But it is interesting how much longer and how many more of these draft picks do the Blackhawks have that when we start finally talking about. I mean, either way, they're going to get whatever the next best guy is in this draft, right? I mean, at some point, when do we start seeing the returns with the Blackhawks here that these kids are actually living up to it?
Well, the Blackhawks are a bad team. It's going to take a while. All right, yeah. They shredded down. This is what happens, by the way, when you tank, and they tanked. All right, okay, you got Bedard, but you had nothing around him. I mean, zero. So now you got to build around him. They had the second overall pick. Now, consensus is, all right, they're not going to get Celebrini, right? He's the top player of the draft, top forward, but they could get the top defenseman, what you're saying here. And that might be good. The problem is in the NHL, defensemen take a long time to develop. It's rare that defense is going to come in. He might play this year, but he won't be that guy for several years. Think of the Buffalo Sabres when they took Rasmus Dahlin. Everyone loved him. He was going to be the next god. And he is now. He's a really good player now. But it took three seasons before we saw that. But before that, we're in the microwave society, right? Everyone wants immediate results. Yeah. Before that, they want to ship him to the moon, right? Or actually to the sun and get rid of him because he wasn't playing all that well. They were patient, and it paid off here. So the second pick could end up being – listen, I'm going to apologize if I butcher this name here, but Levshunov, the defenseman at Michigan State. He is the consensus number one defenseman. Should the Blackhawks go that way? They may not. Hey, listen, maybe they're going to want to get offensive talent around Bedard, and they're going to go with Caden Lindstrom from Medicine Hat of WHL. They could go with Yzerman, another top forward here. Now, that Yzerman is not spelled Y-Z-E-R. That's I-E-I-S-E-R. So a little different spelling here. No relation to Steve Yzerman, the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings. Ivan Demidov, a forward out of SKA, could also be another possible target of teams in the top five.
Interesting here. One other question. I thought talking this morning, how close is Ottawa here? Because they got a top eight pick. I think they have the number seven pick. They got when you make that trade, right, and you bring in, you must think you're a goalie away from really making a run. Everybody thought Ottawa was going to be the team last year, Kurtz, and everyone lost every future ticket they bet on them, but they've got the pieces, and you go and make the, you got a top seven pick here tonight, and then you go out and you trade for Allmark. So are they thinking they can actually make a run to the playoffs here next year, or how much did they underperform?
Allmark makes them a better team, but the surprise for me, Joe, was that they didn't, when they acquired him, they didn't get a contract extension done right away. Like, it wasn't part of the deal because he's only there for 1 year. So that's strange to me, which means they must be going for it this year. The pieces are sort of in place. Ullmark, I don't know if I'd say he's a top five, but he's right outside if not. All right, so but he also played with a much better defense in Boston. The Ottawa defense has names we know, right? We know Thomas Chabot.
Yeah.
You know, we know Jake Sanderson. Yep. We know Jacob Chychrun. Yep. But they are on the offensive side of defense, right? They need a true defensive defenseman here. I've done a mock draft, believe it or not, for hockey. I like doing them. They're fun. I don't think they're going to get the defenseman I mentioned earlier, right? The name I'm going to butcher once again, Artem Levshunov out of Michigan State. I don't think they'll get him. But if the draft goes the way I think it's going to go, I think they're going to take the second defenseman, Sam Dickinson out of London of the OHL. I think that's a nice pick for them, a nice solid defenseman here. Big guy can help clear out the front of the net here, and I think that's what they need. So I expect Ottawa, even if they don't take Dickinson, maybe it's another defenseman, but I think Ottawa is looking for defense here. The offense may not be, you know, it's not a Toronto Maple Leafs, but it's a good offense that can score. You got the goaltender now. You got to shore up the defensive side of defense. You can score on defense, no doubt you can. I think that's probably the pick I feel best about would be Ottawa taking a defenseman. I think it'll be Dickinson.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you bring in Ullmark because you were dead last in the NHL in goaltending last year, but you got plenty of pieces, certainly offensively. So I think Ottawa and Buffalo probably in that this draft should help them at least gain another piece to making the playoffs. Is that fair, Kurtz, for next year? Because I think Buffalo and Ottawa probably in that same boat where maybe one or two more pieces here and they can make a push.
I agree. You know, you might put Detroit in this category as well, by the way. Remember, that division alone, Boston's now lost Allmark. They're getting a little older in the tooth here, right? Pastor Nick Marchand getting up there. Yep. Think of Tampa Bay. They're all old, right? Hedman, Stamkos, even Kucherov getting up there. Yep. And Stamkos is a free agent. We don't know if he's coming back to Tampa Bay right now. I'm sure these teams, you mentioned Ottawa, Buffalo, even Montreal, by the way, Detroit, I'm sure they're smelling a chance to move up here. Yes, I was on Ottawa last year. Was wrong. I thought they were ready to take the next step last year because I like their talent here. Maybe this will be the year. You got the better goaltending and the better and goal.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Goaltending to me is everything in the NHL. You got it. It should stabilize that unit. I do like Ottawa to push for a wild card spot.
I guess one of those guys is going to, one of those teams is certainly going to make a run here. All right, Kurt, so don't go anywhere. We got Major League Baseball getting ready to start. The Yankees, of course, will be a topic of conversation. We'll do that when Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions. Before we dive into some Major League Baseball, we do have some breaking news in the NBA here, and it just seems like the NBA just wants to garner all the headlines here over the last week, even though their season is over, but they don't care. They want you to know what moves are being made, and they are, as the New Orleans Pelicans have traded with the Atlanta Hawks and picked up DeJounte Murray. How do you like that? Pelicans getting Murray. It looks like, wow, there's a lot to go over here. Atlanta, of course, got the very first pick in this year's draft. There was questions about, you know, Trae Young and now DeJounte Murray. Are they going to coexist? Who's going to get paid? Who's going to get moved? Well, I think we are starting to see that take shape right now. We'll have more on the details, but DeJounte Murray on his way to the Pelicans with a trade by the Hawks. And George Kurtz, we are underway here tonight. Major League Baseball, nothing in this Phillies Marlins game. Let's just hope nobody else from Philadelphia gets hurt. As can you believe that you lose last night in come from mind fashion by Miami, and then you lose not just Harper, you lose Schwarber, both going to the IL. That is not great news for the Phillies here. What were you looking at in this game?
Well, the under was the easy choice, right? Kind of look at that with Miami anyway. So I think the under automatically. If they would have been playing anybody decent, or at least that had a decent starting pitcher against them, I probably would have taken the road team as well here. Miami, I couldn't pull that trigger. Not with who they were throwing out there against Sanchez today. Because it's not that I think Philly is going to lose to everybody, but I think it's a shock. You know, they're not – we lost – we did what? We lost Short and Harper? Yeah. What? You know, that sort of thing where you're in shock here. Sort of like when the Yankees lost Soto, it took them a second to figure it out there. So I wanted to do that. Took the under instead here. We got to remember, you know, if you want to play the optimistic viewpoint here, the All-Star breaks in a couple of weeks. So teams are going to sort of stash people on the aisle anyway because they get those extra 4 or 5 days here. So, Keith, I'm not saying that's what happened here, by the way. Not at all. Harper and Schwarber are hurt. What are you going to do? But it gives them an extra little leeway. Well, you know, they get that extra 5 days. Let's throw them on the IL. Remember, it's not a 10-game. It's a 10-day IL. So that's something I always look for here, that when teams start to stash players on the IL. Still, brutal losses for the Philadelphia Phillies. I do wonder how long it takes them to get over that shock.
Yeah, it's, you know, they had a very successful first half. They're usually all about the second half, but they've done enough early to carry themselves over the next month or so and hopefully get those guys back much healthier than they are right now. Speaking of healthy, the Yankees are terrible, and they are not healthy in any way, shape, or form. I'm hearing rumors now about maybe they're going to get Bellinger after all because they know they need another bat. But they also wouldn't hurt to get some pitching. But none of that is going to matter if they don't start winning some games here. It's been a rough go. Stroman on the mound. Kikuchi is a lefty. We know they don't hit lefties well. So what gives here tonight in this one?
Of course, the joke would be right now they don't hit anybody well. Lefties, righties,
ambidextrous,
or anything else right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ride the streak, and I'm going to bet against the Yankees, right? They're not losing. They're getting crushed Right, they're getting, I mean, bum crushed. But every after the second inning, it's 6-2, 6-1, 6-0 every game now. What was it, 8-0 last night? You know, so I'll keep betting against them. And Kikuchi is a left-hander. I think he's had two starts against the Yankees this year offhand. One was good, one not so good. But still, Yankees don't hit lefties. They're in a rut here. I don't see how you're betting on the Yankees. You want to leave it alone? Fine, leave it alone. But I'll take the Blue Jays here. I'm going to ride against the Yankees until they prove they can do something. You already said it, Joe. They're not pitching, although Stroman had a good outing his last start, but it was terrible to start before that. Their relief pitching is in shambles, and they're not hitting. Their lineup, every time you look at it, looks like a spring training lineup. It's a joke. You know, the team has poor roster construction, and now they're paying for it. So I don't see how you're doing anything but betting against the Yankees until they show life.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We're still a month away. July 30th is the trade deadline here. So teams have about the next 30 days to scout and figure out where they want to go, Kurtz. I love the whole Alex Bregman at third base for the Yankees too, but I'm sure we'll hear more and more as this gets, as we move along here in the dog days of summer. That would be really interesting.
The fans do not like him.
I just don't see how that's going to work. The Yankee garbage cans? I don't think they're going to have a problem with him.
He goes 0-1. He strikes out his first at-bat at Yankee Stadium. They will crush him.
Yes.
You can't bring in a Bregman. You can't bring in a Correa. You can't bring in an Altuve. It can't happen.
Oh, you got to do it. As long as they deliver, they'll love him. They will forget all about those past regressions. They will forget all about it. That's right. Hit a home run and all will be fine there. Not so fine, though, are the Texas Rangers here tonight, who got blown out by Baltimore last night. I guess all is well because Scherzer's on the mound. The problem is this is only Scherzer's second start in about a year. So what are we going to get here tonight from Texas and Baltimore?
I took Texas here. It's not that I'm in love with Scherzer. I'm not. But he did have a good first start here. All right. And Baltimore's throwing Suarez. I think Texas is going to hit Suarez. So you're going to be plus money? Fine. Give me the Rangers here tonight. Baltimore's the better team. Right? Listen, I think Baltimore's the best team in the American League. Said this over and over again. I think they can be a great team if they were to pick up at least one starter, maybe two, by the deadline. I mean good starters. And they can do that with their prospects.
Right.
They have more than enough prospects. They have so many prospects. This is not a joke again. They have so many prospects, they have no place to play these guys because they all play the same positions. They need to make deals for established star players, which they should be able to do here. So, yes, give me the Rangers tonight, mainly because Scherzer should be able to keep those bats in check, and I think the Rangers will hit Suarez.
And then why are we not betting the over at 8.5? What am I missing here? At Camden Yards and another hot, humid night? What are we doing here, Kurtz? It feels like the over, it's just begging to be bet here, no?
The problem is, what if Scherzer does shut down Baltimore? I don't think Texas will crush Suarez, but I wouldn't bet the under. Either I bet the over or I would leave it alone. But if he gets to the over, I'm also worried that Scherzer got crushed then and I didn't win.
Yeah, I mean, if you think the Rangers are going to score some runs, I don't see how this thing stays under 8.5. All right, you backed Bregman and the Astros. We saw that, too. So get out of here. I'll see you tomorrow for In-Game Live as Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions as we look to close out this first hour as we're getting ready. It's a big night in the NHL. The draft getting ready to get underway here in Las Vegas. So we will let you know once the names start getting called there. We've got plenty of Major League Baseball that is getting ready to get underway here in the 7 o'clock hour, including those New York Yankees, hopefully trying to get one back in the win column, something that they have not done an awful lot of lately, but they'll have an opportunity here with Stroman on the mound for them, taking on Kikuchi and Toronto, an absolutely embarrassing effort last night. But we'll see if they can get back on it here tonight. We also have coming up a game that everybody, this might be the most watched game tonight By nobody. With the Rockies and the White Sox tonight, they'll be going at it. And it's hilarious how much money is rolled in on the White Sox tonight, as they are a look at that favorite here. They're almost a $1.60 favorite against the Rockies here, which is just head scratching. Hudson will be throwing batting practice for the Rockies. Thorpe will be doing the same for the White Sox here. I can't think of two teams I can trust less. And it's got to scare you when everyone is running to the window betting the White Sox here tonight. That is going to be a very interesting outcome. Although the White Sox did just win a game 1-0 against Chris Sale in Atlanta. So there is always that. The Mets at Citi Field taking on the Astros. Quintana on the mound for the Mets, taking on Blanco for Houston. And I like Houston in this one. Call me crazy. I think the Astros will get to Quintana here. I think there is, of these two teams, and they have both been very good over the last month, only one of them, I think, is playing way above their heads here, and it's not the Houston Astros here. So Blanco and the Mets have not seen Blanco. They really don't have any history against him. So this is going to be the first time the Mets here have seen him. Obviously, I think they'll be able to get to Quintana, who is also last couple of outings been riding above his pay grade here. I do think this comes back down to earth. I think the Astros keep rolling. I think the Mets come back to reality. We do have one other game coming up here just after the top of the hour. That will be the Red Sox and the Padres at Fenway Park here. And I, you know, the Padres at home is one thing. The Padres flying across country to the East Coast, it wasn't that long ago, and they had a great home trip when they just came out. 6-1, I think they went on this last homestand. But the problem was they were coming off a road trip in which they couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. Think Philadelphia Phillies and how embarrassing that was. Not to mention, they've got Randy Vasquez on the mound here tonight, and he is a much better pitcher at Petco, like most pitchers are, since it is a pitcher's ballpark, than he is at home. I don't see, I want to back the Padres in some way, shape, or form in this series. I just don't think tonight is the way to do it. Pivetta has been very, very good. In fact, the Red Sox have won his last four starts here, and I think they won't have a problem here getting to Vasquez, more so than I think they have a shot at getting to Pivetta here. So I do like the Red Sox. They've won 8 of their last 10. The bullpen is very underrated. And if Pivetta pitches as good as he has over the last couple of starts at home, I think they'll have an opportunity not just to win this game, but you can get the Red Sox lay that run and a half here tonight and expect it to be a rough one for the Padres. I hate that whole time zone. They've already proven they can't win in the East Coast here. It's been a rough go of it here for the Padres. And we've got plenty other games coming up a little bit later here. The Braves go from getting shut out against the White Sox to being at home, taking on the Pirates. Mark Zinno will join us coming up this hour. We'll get his thoughts on his Atlanta Braves with Charlie Morton on the mound. Not to mention big National League Central battle, Brewers and Cubs coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, along with the Guardians and Royals. And you will have a little late night baseball here with the Dodgers and Giants tonight. Always a big rivalry. And we'll dive into that when Game Time Decisions continues here on the Grid.